It is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. It's the live Saturday edition of the program. 855-450-3733 allows you to bring up whatever you want, but we always, of course, bring stuff in to talk to you about that we think that you might find interesting. And the we tonight is me, Ian.
And Chris.
Our normal Saturday night co-host, Daryl Perry, is actually in Concord, New Hampshire tonight, as he is staying through the night in Concord due to him being the chairman of the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire, re-elected today as chairman of the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire. So congratulations.
And that's great news. Yeah. Daryl's very, very committed to, first of all, libertarian ideals, and very committed to the party being a success and actually being meaningful.
He's one of the most committed libertarians that I know. And
I would second that. I mean, he is, and it's not just on, I'm picking this issue and I feel really this way, but on these other things, no, he looks at everything through a libertarian lens. And
yeah, and he's nonstop activism. I mean, from waking to going to sleep at night, he probably dreams about activism. he's nonstop. The guy is a tour de force. It's you know, a pleasure to assist him in the things that he's doing, which is why I got back involved in the Libertarian Party here in New Hampshire in the first place, was because Daryl was interested in kind of working on that. I'll go along with you, Daryl. And
sure.
Now he's the chairman of the party, was elected last year in sort of a special election, and today there was a challenge to his nomination as chairmanship. There was somebody else who was trying to, you know, get the nod, and that other person did not succeed. That other person is a registered Republican. So I was glad to see that the New Hampshire Libertarian Party has again retained its principles. It is, in my opinion, probably the most principled, or one of the, you know, two most principled libertarian state parties in the United States. New Hampshire and Vermont were the two Libertarian Party state parties that did not vote for Gary Johnson overwhelmingly, or the other guy who was the other kid, the young guy that was running for president, their presidential nomination. I forget.
Yeah, I do too.
But the two most unprincipled candidates that they had, it was New Hampshire and Vermont were the two states that did not vote for those two people overwhelmingly. The other states did. New Hampshire and Vermont voted for Daryl Perry and John McAfee of the different choices that were options. And so it's nice to see that the New Hampshire Libertarian Party continues to be a strong, principled libertarian group. There was an attempt to water down the platform today as well, which also failed.
So this is interesting because I've read a couple articles lately. It's been kind of a back and forth, and I'll try to find the links to them. But the idea that Republicans and libertarians are just sort of automatically joined at the hip.
No.
Because libertarians tend to be fiscally conservative.
They tend to be, yeah.
That's sort of a catchphrase, and I say
probably
that sort
more
of
so than Republicans.
Tongue in cheek, because, yeah, Republicans have not, they may say they are, but they haven't really demonstrated
it
in recent years. Exactly.
I mean, if they, the Republicans, you know, for all the talk, they were in charge of the national government, the federal government, for, what, 2000 to 2006 under the Bush administration?
Sure.
And I remember specifically we
2008,
were
2008 before they were
remember,
really
okay,
charged.
Well, whatever it was. But yeah. They were totally domination of the House and the Senate and you know, the executive. And I remember specifically we were on the air when I think it was Trent Lott, who was like the speaker or something like that, or
speaker
House
of the
Majority
House.
Leader.
Senate leader, excuse
whatever
me.
Whatever it was. Yeah. I don't pay close attention to who these people are. I just remember his
name. I'm almost embarrassed that I do remember that.
I remember his name, and I remember what he said, because it was such a memorable quote. He said, "We've cut government to the bone." I just thought,
what bone?
Right.
I mean, funny bone, maybe.
The government has gotten bigger and bigger year after year after year, regardless of whether it's the Republicans or the Democrats who've been in charge. And, you know, I mean, at least under Clinton, you could argue they had a surplus. They didn't have that under the Bush years.
Yeah, and I think that idea that you know, fiscal conservatism marries parties together is really false, because conservatism, at least in its modern usage, is really a political philosophy.
Is it?
I think it is.
Because we've asked people to define it on the air, and they can't.
This was the argument from a couple of these articles I had read, and libertarianism is more of a it's a philosophy of law. It to me, and I agreed with this in the article, that it deals more with your rights and the defense of those rights and property rights and mm-hmm. things like that. So it's more, I would say, if you were to characterize it, more legal based, in as opposed to a political type of movement.
Well, libertarianism is definitely a philosophy, right? I mean, it's based on a principle. It's based on the non-aggression principle, the idea that it's not okay ever to use aggressive force or the threat of aggressive force to achieve political or social goals. Very simple, very easy to sum that up. I don't see what the philosophy is behind conservatism. I mean, beyond we should keep things the way they've been. Or go back to the way they were.
And that's where I think the term political philosophy sort of comes into play. It's just these are core tenets that we say we believe in, and it crosses the board, and it shifts, and it changes, and it depends on which way. Exactly.
Yeah. Same thing with the Democrats. I mean, what does it mean to be progressive? What are you progressing towards?
Right.
Can you define it?
Progressing towards 1913.
Well, they're certainly progressing towards more government, but so are the the Republicans.
Sure.
So what makes them so different? I mean, just the fact that they have different favorite programs, maybe, that they want to focus on.
Exactly.
Beyond that, the only principle that they seem to have, the Republicans and the Democrats, is the principle of controlling others. I mean, the principle of we tell you what to do.
Right. And we're going to do that by taking your money, and we're going to spend it on the things that either the right or left feels are most important. And should be most important to you, Ian, things like national defense and keeping our police forces strong and or vast wealth redistribution schemes under progressivism. So.
Which, of course, the Republicans never repeal. I mean, they won't touch Medicare or whatever.
Social Security.
The military. Nope. And they won't touch these things.
Nope.
Everybody thinks Trump's going to do something to significantly change Washington, D.C. and color me skeptical about that, really. I mean, our toll-free number, if you want to join us here, 855-450-FREE. Because, we've asked this question over the years a few times, and it is always an interesting discussion. You're welcome to answer it if you want. But, what does it mean to be conservative? What does it mean to be a liberal? I mean, it's one of those things we can come back to any old time and ask that, because everybody's got their own idea. It doesn't mean anything.
Which I think is natural and good, that people should have their own idea about what they believe the philosophy should be. And
there's nothing uniting there. If I agree with you. Each person should have their own belief system and should be individual. But, how do you identify what this is? How do you even know what this means to be a conservative?
This sort of points out the fallacy of party systems that, if the Republican Party has 20 million members, do they all believe the same things?
Of course not.
No more than, every libertarian.
The libertarians have some different beliefs, too. But the libertarians seem to differ more on how the non-aggression principle should apply on certain issues. Like, they'll disagree on, I don't want to broach the subject, but on abortion, for instance.
Sure. No, it's a good point.
There's some differing positions. Intellectual property is another one.
That's a very divisive one.
Libertarians will disagree. But generally, there is that uniting principle that is pretty standard across the board, which is don't aggress against your neighbors.
Right. And that's why, again, these couple articles refer to it more as a sort of a legal-esque philosophy as opposed to simply political,
I think of it as a moral philosophy.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that at all.
I mean, this is the
oldest. To me, it is, yeah.
It's the oldest lesson in the book. It's the first lesson you learn on the playground, is don't hit Johnny and don't hit Sally.
Right.
You don't do that.
Yeah.
That's not. And the funny thing is that most of us came to embrace and understand that on the playground, like mom and dad taught us, or the teacher said, you don't do this, it's bad, you're going to get punished for it, or you don't do it because you don't want someone else to do it to you. There's rationale that even a child can understand here, but yet when people get older, they lose it.
Well, what happens is we spend the next 20 years after we've learned this valuable lifelong lesson
undoing it
and being taught that that's not exactly how we should be thinking.
I was told by one of the local statists here, Fred Parcells, who is was a code enforcer and a cop, that someday I'll grow up and think like him.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Toll free number here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We're going to talk about the border coming up. Yeah. It's Free Talk Live, and it's the live Saturday edition of the program. Of course, we invite you to take control of the airwaves and bring up anything that's on your mind at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Whether you want to talk about just sort of the general discussion we were having about, you know, being a conservative or a liberal versus a libertarian. Libertarians actually is a, you know, political philosophy based on morality, based on a principle, a very easy to understand principle that is, I think, a starting point, a good starting point for how we can have a better society and how human beings can better interact more peaceably with one another. We're going to get into all of that. Plus, coming up, the border, specifically searches at the border.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a story about that, Chris.
And I do.
Our toll-free number, if you want to join us, 855-450-FREE. We've got Skype as well. The Skype username is lrn.fm. Well, it's been a tough day for Bitcoin with the price. Tough last couple days for Bitcoin, with the price taking a pretty big tumble over, looks like, the last, I don't know, three to five days, mm-hmm. going down from around $1,250 to right now at about $960 U.S. dollars.
That's about where I saw it earlier today. Yeah,
huge
big drop.
And, you know, we got into some of it earlier this week as far as, well, why is this happening? People want to know. Well, of course, you never really know for sure why Bitcoin's price goes up or down. It is a global market with a whole lot of purchasers being in China.
Right.
But regardless, there is one thing that's, you know, bringing people to some cause for concern, and that is the future of Bitcoin is somewhat in question, and that may be why the price is going down. Now, some would say, hey, this is a buying opportunity. Now's a good time to get in.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that the future of Bitcoin is in question, but the future path of Bitcoin may be a better way to put that.
Well, how about the future success of Bitcoin? I mean, Bitcoin's not going to go away. It's pretty established. It was the first and most successful cryptocurrency. But like a lot of things, nothing stays on top forever.
No, and there's some great challengers out there to it in a lot of different fields.
And the good news is
different areas.
We have an official wallet on Free Talk Live that not only holds Bitcoin, but also holds its top two challengers as well, Ethereum or Ether, which is right now the number two cryptocurrency. And it recently, Ether actually recently passed Bitcoin in trading volume for the very first time in a one-day, 24-hour time frame. More dollars worth of Ether was traded on the markets than Bitcoin.
Wow.
And that's pretty big.
That's huge.
They're up to almost like $4 billion, or they were. I think they've dropped down.
Market cap, I'll look at that.
But the market cap is huge. It's the only other cryptocurrency above $1 billion in market cap. Bitcoin was at $20 billion just a few days ago. Now it's at $15.
Yeah.
And its percentage of the total market, like if you look at the value of all of the cryptocurrencies out there, the hundreds of them, I mean, there's only like a top 20 that really matter. But if you look at the value of all of them, Bitcoin's lower and lower and lower. And it's at a new record low as far as the percentage of the market, like its dominance in the market. It was like 73% down from the 85 percentile.
And I think this is healthy. I mean, I love to see some competition.
Yeah,
absolutely. And like I said, some of these other other currencies that are popping up are not even popping up. They've been around. Ethereum's been around for a couple of years now.
Yeah, two or 3 years.
But they do different things. They do things differently, and they will fulfill people's needs in different ways. And that's cool.
Important. That's important in the marketplace. So you can get the Jax wallet for your not only iPhone and Android, but also you can get it for Windows and Mac and Linux and browser plugins for Firefox and Chrome. And it's all free. So go to Jax.io or your Google or Apple App Store, JAXX.io. It's Bitcoin, Ether, Dash. And I've heard rumors that the Dash is going to be re-implemented on iOS because Apple, for whatever reason, squashed that several months ago.
Oh, for God.
So if you got iOS, well, sorry, but you can't have Dash there. At least I've heard maybe it came out in this newer version because they just released a 1.2 the other day, just a couple days ago. So
gotcha.
I don't know. I don't have an iPhone device. So if you know better than us on that, let us know what the current status is. But anyway, it holds multiple cryptocurrencies and it was created by a Free Talk Live listener, Anthony DiOrio, who also happens to be one of the founders of Ethereum. And it's easy to back up your wallet and recover funds with Jax. There's also Shapeshift integration in there. So if you're like a lot of people who are thinking about like bailing out of Bitcoin and you want to shift over to one of those other cryptos, you can just do that from right within the wallet. It's super easy. And again, you can back it up. So if you lose your phone, not the end of the world. You can just load up Jax on another device and use your backup phrase. And there's all your crypto again. So very, very easy. Very cool. Jax is striving to give you command over your digital life. Coins, contracts, currencies, identity, and more. It's your digital command center in the palm of your hand. It's Jax, the official wallet of Free Talk Live at JAXX.io. So let's jump into this story, Chris, about the border. I just recently took a trip to Mexico.
Yes.
My first time going to Mexico. It was not my first international travel, but it was my first time flying internationally. And I was a little concerned coming back into the United States. Wasn't concerned about going to Mexico.
Right.
That's not a problem at all. Yeah. It's like they want you to be there.
Exactly.
Welcome, gringo. Spend your money.
Come spend your money.
Yep. If you stay longer than 180 days, we're just going to fine you. And
right.
I forget who said, I think it might have been Daryl who saw a headline the other day that 91% of Americans in Mexico are illegal.
I've seen that too. I thought that was great.
So, things are very different down there. But coming back, I'd seen these headlines about, well, the federal government can search your devices when you're at the border.
Right.
Because they don't consider the border to be the United States, that you're still in sort of no man's land or, you know, in this political jurisdiction where they have special abilities to search beyond what they would normally need a warrant for.
Right.
And so they can demand that you hand over your password to get into the device.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And this has been talked about for the last couple of years, too. Can't remember if it was the ACLU or electronic EFF or one of those
probably
guys.
Both.
Yeah, have been talking about this sort of constitution-free zone, which some say extends like 150 miles into the country by
false.
U.S. Stoutfoot. We
had reported that. That was years ago that they were talking about that constitution-free zone. It turns out that the 100-mile thing is just, that's just where they happen to set up these checkpoints,
right,
is usually within 100 miles, but there's nothing at all legally prohibiting them from setting up a checkpoint right in the middle of America.
Exactly.
So there's
middle
nothing whatsoever
Kansas,
except that they just haven't done it yet. That's all. The constitution-free zone is the entirety of the United States.
I would agree with that assessment, at least in a lot of ways. So this story comes to us from CNN. And the title is Privacy Rights at Border Draw Scrutiny Under Trump Immigration Crackdown. Mm. And this is by Tal Copan. Washington, the border may be the closest place there is in the United States to a constitution-free zone. Courts have held that it's an area where people have very limited privacy rights and the government has broad authority. Privacy advocates are now more and more concerned about how that legal gray zone could be used. The border has also become the primary battlefield for President Trump's hardline positions on immigration. The president has called for beefing up security on the southern border, instituted a travel ban, and called for more extreme vetting of would-be immigrants and visitors.
We're going to get into this coming up here in moments. You can also share your thoughts with us, whether it's about your freedoms in general, whatever's on your mind, the border, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Should you be subject to search?
Bitcoin.com is of the opinion that the current Bitcoin Core development team is not taking satisfactory steps to ensure the growth and advancement of Bitcoin in accordance with Satoshi's vision. As community efforts to resolve these problems have failed, it is necessary to resolve them with a different approach by using subreddit r/BTC instead of r/Bitcoin and running Bitcoin Unlimited. You are casting a vote against the current development team. Learn more at bitcoin.com. That's bitcoin.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us right here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We're talking about the border, and it's Ian and Chris with you here tonight. You can join us on Skype. By the way, Skype username is lrn.fm. And I want you to know about Freedoms Phoenix. It's a liberty-oriented news aggregation site. If you want the newest and freshest stories and perspectives on current events from those who value liberty, then freedomsphoenix.com has it. Their daily dispatch is the best way to stay up to date on science, technology, historical findings, liberty news, government overspending, and the rise of the police state. It's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. That's FreedomsPhoenix.com. And once again, our toll-free number if you want to join us, 855-450-FREE. We're talking about the border and the status, you know, whatever the status might be that you have, which isn't much. When you're going through the border, they can basically do what they want with you.
You got it.
They can search you in almost any way that they so desire. And it is a very disturbing feeling for those of us who actually value liberty going through these things.
I get disturbed when I'm traveling from state to state by aircraft. You know, just sure. because of the intrusions that I get, you know, it's crazy.
And they've just made their pat downs even more invasive. That was in the news recently.
Yeah, thorough. Or yeah. I'm trying to think of they use some euphemism, which
they gave my Jimmy's a good jostling when I was there. Let's just say that
they take you out to dinner afterwards.
No, I'm afraid not.
Nothing like that.
So we got a story from CNN that's getting into the sort of the legal issues at the border.
Yeah, and I think it's. From a liberty point of view, what I liked about this story was it's pointing out that it's getting more scrutiny. So if you could say something that positive has come out of the Trump administration, it is, you know, they people tend to think of this as, well, this is, you know, just under Trump. All this stuff started happening. It's like, no. This has been going on for a long time, definitely since amped up since 9/11.
Yeah.
So the story continues. Reports of spread of travelers, immigrants, and U.S. citizens being pulled aside at airports for hours for secondary questioning, as well as having their smartphones and laptops searched.
Are they going to buy you another plane ticket? You know, if they go ahead and pull you aside, because most of the time, if you're in an airport, you got maybe an hour to an hour and a half on the average, I would say,
sure,
for a layover.
And that's it.
And if they just hold you there for 3 or 4 hours and you miss your flight, then what happens? The airline isn't obligated to, you know, buy you another ticket.
Right. But I think the airlines, God, I would think that they would all, I'm looking at it from a customer service point of view.
That they would do the
I
right
would
thing.
Want to make it right because it is obviously something that's out of their control,
true.
Out of your control. But the courts have held that that's mostly allowed, even for citizens. Law enforcement at the border may search an individual and belongings without providing much of a reason at all. There are some limits. An appellate court has held that conducting a deeper search of electronics, called a forensic search, requires reasonable suspicion of some wrongdoing, a lower standard than within the U.S. otherwise.
So a forensic search is where they use specific tools, forensic analysis tools, on your computer or phone, and they have these tools to where they can just dock their phone or your phone onto their computer, run a program, and then it just ingests everything from the phone and analyzes it for whatever it is they're looking for.
Right.
I mean, it's not going to necessarily be a quick process, but it's very thorough.
Right. And the key thing you said there is whatever they're looking for. Well, they're not looking for anything in most of these cases.
It's a fishing expedition.
They're fishing. Right. So they'll gather all that data and then see if something sticks, which is completely opposite of any ideal that one would think that this country was founded upon.
Oh, yeah, there's that pesky Declaration of Independence with the whole, you know, warrant that shall specify what's to be searched and what's to be looked for,
sure.
And that, you know, what location and what they're going to find there. None of that applies at the border, is what the courts have said.
That's pretty much it. Customs and Border Protection and Immigrations and Customs Enforcement also have a set of internal policies reviewed by the Department of Homeland Security's Privacy Office. Well, there, I feel better already. That governs what agents can do, including in special cases like attorney-client privilege or journalist devices. Still, experts say the government has always had the most leeway at the border and its ports of entry.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a constitution-free zone at the border, but the government's powers are at their highest and people's privacy interests are considered to be at their lowest, said Chris Calabresi, Vice President of Policy at the Centers for Democracy and Technology, and Civil Liberties Advocacy Group.
So when I went in, again, my first time flying to Mexico, it was coming back that I was concerned with. Mm-hmm. So I actually did go ahead and sanitize my laptop and the smartphone that I had with me, and I logged out of everything, you know, logged cleared all the cookies and all the cache from the browsers, logged out of all the communications programs, because it's not like there was anything on the laptop that I wanted, you know, that they could find in the first place.
Sure.
But I didn't want them reading through my Facebook chats. I didn't want them reading through my Signal chats or my Telegram chats. It's just none of their damn business.
And that's the point.
And
that's what they'll
do.
None of their damn business.
They'll sit there and read through your stuff.
Sure.
People have had that happen. And so when I was going into... when you're coming back in, they have a declarations form that you have to fill out, mm-hmm. and you have to say, you know, the stuff that you're bringing back with you from right. whatever country that you visited. And I'm a noob. I didn't know you couldn't bring back a pear, so I... you know, I had a pair from Mexico.
Come on, Ian. That's like coming
this
through.
This is basic stuff,
this
right?
This is 101, yeah.
But I'm a noob. I didn't know that. There was never any signage that said you can't do that.
You're kidding.
No, I
saw tons of that stuff every time I've traveled
like that.
Anywhere. That's all right.
And the form that I had, you know, asked, do you have any fruits or meats or whatever? And I answered, honestly,
sure.
Yeah, I've got a pair. You know, I also had a bag of peanuts. Well, apparently you can have peanuts. That's totally fine.
Oh.
But the pair, no, can't have that. And so they brought me over to, or they had me go over to, like, the search zone or whatever. And when I went into that area, there were signs up about, please turn off your cell phones. And I thought that was interesting because,
right.
you know, they are very, very concerned with the, you know, people taking pictures or recording video back there. And given the circumstances that I was already in, given, you know, my relationship with the government,
sure.
I did not choose that moment to push the issue of recording the interaction.
Understandably.
But they are very, and it was the second time, actually, that I've been at a border kind of patrol-related area where there's very strict camera restrictions. So, again, they say it's not a constitution-free zone. It is a constitution-free zone because otherwise you should have a right to record your interactions with these people.
Right. So did they offer any rationale of why you could not take pictures or...
No, I didn't broach the subject, though. So
yeah.
But there was no
clear sign saying, you know, top secret, nothing like that.
And it did say, please turn off your cell phone. So
that's
it could have just been a request, and it might be something that I could try the next time I go through.
Right.
I think next time I might, like, schedule a flight where there's a long layover just
right.
so that I can have a little more time to kind of futz around with,
sure.
with the system. Because it ended up being that I didn't actually really have any trouble. There was the search because of the pair, but it wasn't a search.
I'm just trying to imagine the probable cause. Well, if this were anything but the kangaroo court and the phony justice system that occurs at the border, under what grounds would you like to search this suspect? Well, sir, he had a pair.
He has a pair.
So we have to violate his rights every possible way we can.
The bureaucrat in it was Customs and Border Protection. The bureaucrat found, you know, he was going through my backpack. He takes the pair out. He knew it was in there because I'd reported it.
Yeah.
And he actually thanked me for being honest. You know, because apparently a lot of people try to sneak pairs and things like that through the border and they don't
admit it.
So I had admitted that I had it and he thanked me for that and moved me along. That was it.
And it's really an agricultural thing. It's a question of bringing parasites and bugs in that could impact U.S. crops. And
yeah, I
kind of get
that.
But come on,
there's people bringing truckloads of fruit through there. So it's like,
that's true.
They're not inspecting the entire truckload of fruit. That's just not a possibility.
Yeah. But you also get that within the states, too. If you ever
go to California.
Go to California or you go to Hawaii. They were very strict on that stuff there, too.
We got more on this story about being at the border, the lack of rights or the very restrictive situation that exists there. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. You want to see the crackdown continue? It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free. Bring up whatever's on your mind or comment on the border. The crackdown on your rights, which pretty much don't exist, according to the courts at the border. If they want to search you as invasively as they want,
no problem.
They pretty much can. Now, there may be one or two places inside your body that they can't search, but I don't even know about that.
I think they're working on that technology.
Yeah.
I think that's coming.
So the toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, all, of course, predicated a lot of this on the war on drugs. right? It's sure. The idea that, oh, we need to search every crevice, every little pocket in your bag or every crevice of your body to make sure that there's not a bag of heroin or cocaine or something.
Well, not just that, but the war on terror and the belief that when you declare war in a country, whether it be on poverty or on drugs or on terrorism, you're really focusing your war internally. The borders sometimes come into play when we talk about drugs, but most of the drug war isn't fought on the border. The drug war is fought in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And people that have simply made a choice to put something into their own bodies, which they own and they possess, are the victims oftentimes. And then this idea that we can clamp down so hard at the border that we'll actually stop trade from occurring when there's huge demand
is
poppycock.
It's never worked out. I mean, they can't even stop human beings from coming across the border, being smuggled across or sneaking across. It's going to be that much harder to stop drugs. They can't even keep drugs out of their own prisons. I mean, the idea that they're somehow going to be successful at doing this, it's just an excuse for control.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we all know that if the drug dealers want to get the drugs through, they just got to pay the right people off, and then they can just roll on through unmolested for the most part.
But it's interesting, if you tell people something for long enough, and we had the admissions from, was it Ehrlichman or Haldeman from the Nixon administration?
It was
one of them. It was one of Nixon's top aides who basically came out a year or two ago and said, yeah, we knew the whole drug war was bogus. What we wanted to do was make the hippies the enemy of the state by making marijuana illegal and declaring a war on that. And we wanted to attack the blacks who were attacking Nixon, so we made heroin. We associated with them and then declared the whole war on drugs. Mm-hmm. We knew it was a farce. So that is what it's about. But it's interesting that, you know, 40, 50 years later, if you talk to the average American, maybe that's not a good way to put it, but you could talk to a lot of Americans who truly believe that, you know, this is the reason we have all our problems in society. If you repeat the same things over and over through your propaganda, people will
Believe it.
They'll believe it.
Wasn't that Hermann Goebbels? Was it Hermann Goebbels?
Goebbels. Yeah, I know. Nixon's, that's good. Hitler's
Nixon,
propaganda minister. Yep, yeah.
They're all the same.
Oh, boy.
All right, so the toll-free number, if you want to join us here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Also, I was just reminded that we are going to have Ademo Freeman calling in tonight.
Interesting.
He tried calling it the last segment of the last night's show, and we were just too busy with calls at the time, and I said, dude, call in tomorrow. We'll put you on then. He's in jail, so he'll be calling us from jail in Warren County, Ohio, after he was arrested over a month ago now for possession and alleged distribution charges of 26 pounds of marijuana. So,
right.
So we'll see what the latest is from inside jail coming up probably sometime in hour number two. Meanwhile, of course, you can comment on the restrictions at the border. Maybe you want to see more searches, more restrictions, more old ladies and children being searched too.
Right.
While at
well,
it.
Some people truly believe that this is how you keep a country safe, and if so, I'd love to hear it.
If you're one of those people who believes that, you want those folks to call in.
I'd love to. I'd love to hear people's. I have my own perspective on things. Mm-hmm. You have your own, and it's always good to hear how other people are thinking and what their beliefs are.
The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Is there more from CNN?
A little bit. They were talking about the searches of electronic devices and things like that. The numbers are pretty staggering. The numbers have been trending up. CBP, which would be Customs and Border Protection, said in fiscal year 2016 it conducted 23,877 electronic media searches, up from only 4,764 the year before.
What was it, 23,000? What was the number?
23,000 in 2016, up from 4,764 the year before. So it's like close to a six-fold, almost a six-fold increase.
Yeah, that's huge.
Out of nearly 400 million arrivals. So if you look at it that way, okay, it's not like everybody coming across is getting searched.
Nope.
That's a fairly small
percentage. They left
me
alone.
Yeah, yeah. But they also said that fewer searches happened in February of this year than the one before. So
okay. Well, then maybe I went in the right month then, apparently.
Yeah. But this is also, I'm skipping through this article a little bit. NBC News had reported Monday that 25 citizens on a particular flight were searched for their phones and passports. Wow. 23 of them happened to be Muslim. So it is one
of
those
areas. So, yeah, maybe
areas.
If my skin was a little darker.
Exactly.
Or if I was wearing certain garb, that
sure.
might have increased my likelihood.
Yeah, and I think that's what, you know, people like Ron Wyden, the senator from Oregon, who's very much, he's a good opponent of this type of activity. Mm-hmm. He's kind of up in arms about.
There aren't enough people like him, then, that are opposing this, because
yeah.
most people are going to embrace more state, more searches.
Yeah, and the answer, you know, if a senator or a congressman stands up against it, then you're un-American. And we've seen how some of these really hawkish types like John McCain have attacked, for example, Rand Paul when he dared, you know, go against something that, you know, the administration wanted or something mm-hmm. like that. And basically his quote recently, well, that means that Rand Paul is working for Putin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just that's the brush you're going to be painted with if you dare stand up for what should be. What most people would consider basic American principles.
Right, and privacy should have been one of those, or should still be one of those things. And that the Constitution wasn't just written, the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, it wasn't just written for people who were born on this particular plot of land. It doesn't specify that.
Right.
The Bill of Rights is about how this government should interact with all human beings, that
yes.
all people within its purview, within its landmass, its geographic area that they have control over, should be have their rights respected, whether it's their right to bear arms or their right to freedom of speech, their right to privacy. You can go on down the list. That's for all human beings, but it's just not being, you know, respected in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
And it's sad.
And that is a very important point. It's one I don't know if you're familiar with the 10th Amendment Center, but
oh, yeah.
Mike Meharry.
Michael Bolden.
Yeah, Michael Bolden. Yeah. Mike Meharry works there as the communications director, but he and I have had some conversations about this topic and how it truly does. Our Constitution doesn't say, you know, the citizens shall be secure in their private property and their papers and things like that.
Yeah, citizen isn't even in the first 10.
No, it talks about people.
That's right.
And to me, and Mike agrees with me, that does mean people that are here illegally. Mm-hmm. Yes, it means people that are here on a visa. That means people who are guests, or regardless, if it is how we protect the rights of the individual from our government. That was the intent of the Bill of Rights.
And if you don't protect the rights of all people, including, you know, those weird people from over there.
Sure.
If you don't protect their rights, then your own rights will inevitably be eroded. And that's what's happened here, is the state is using the boogeyman of drugs or terrorism mm-hmm. or, you know, fill in the blank. These are the two most popular boogeymen. They're using these boogeymen to say, oh, I don't know about all these rights. Let's just put those rights aside. We need security. We need safety.
Sure.
Fear. It's scary out there, people. Don't you need us to keep you safe? And then people will just eat it up, man.
Yeah.
They do those interviews at the airports about the TSA. Whenever there's some new TSA invasive search policy or some sort of change, they'll always ask people on the news, like,
right.
Well, what do you think about this? And then a lot of people will say, well, it's an inconvenience, but if it helps keep us safe.
Exactly.
And it's just, it's sad.
It is. It is. And how long did it really take Americans to get used? And I was one of those people that I flew, I'm going to say within a week or maybe about a week after 9/11.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I had a trip to Chicago for a storage conference, and I was out there, and it was like the first time I had ever flown where they were recommending show up at the airport four hours earlier.
I remember that.
For a domestic flight.
Right.
It was nuts and boring.
At that point, if it's a short flight, you might as well just drive.
Yeah, yeah. It probably would have made sense now in retrospect.
Toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We're going to kick off hour number two coming up here in moments. You're still welcome to comment on this issue. Are you somebody who is really comfortable with being shaken down at the border? You want to see more invasion of people's privacy? 855-450-FREE. You can join us on Free Talk Live.
So the protection of life, liberty, and property is what the Free State Project is all about. But it's an effort to move 20,000 people who understand.
It's about demonstrating to the entire country
that, yeah, we can have a free market, a truly free market.
Making it just a freer, great place to live.
It's the world's largest voluntarist libertarian community, and it's only getting bigger.
That's amazing, to be able to move to a place where other people like passionately believe in being free and independent.
What the Free State Project is managing to do, though, is to put their money where their mouth is. It's physically getting up across the country and saying, let's go someplace and let's demonstrate the power of these ideas. There's a lot of kind of philosophy that surrounds liberty. There's a lot of thinking about it and talking about it. But here in New Hampshire, people are doing it.
101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire, a documentary by Free State Project Early Movers. Watch it free at 101reasonsfilm.com. 101reasonsfilm.com.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves by dialing in toll-free here. As we launch into the second hour of this live Saturday edition of the program, our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And we've got Skype. The Skype username here is lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
So you could still comment on what we discussed in the first hour, which was mostly about your rights and how they've just been almost completely obliterated
right
at the border, both on the border literally or inside at the Border Patrol kind of CBP internal airline checkpoints. So when you're coming into international airports, it's not good. And you're welcome to comment there. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE. Our Skype username is lrn.fm. Let's talk to James in Arizona. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, James.
Yeah, Chris, I called in to take you up on that, a challenge to the audience to disagree with you about, well, the war on drugs, for one thing.
Oh, feel free.
And by the way, it'd be nice to hear somebody say anything else you'd like to say, or in other words, give me the last word, because you've already had the first one.
We don't owe you anything, but we'll see how it goes.
Right, Minister.
Let's have a conversation, James.
You want
Come
to
on.
Answer the challenge.
Go ahead.
And let me have a conversation. Chris, one only need to go upstairs in that flop house that you're broadcasting from to realize why millions of people believe that drugs should be illegal. Respectfully, Chris, I know that you don't have a brain-damaged mind. But, Chris,
Thank you. It goes
a lot to say about you that the alleged quote by J.R. Haldeman, or was it a John Ehrlichman? You can't even remember which one, but you use it as a basis of fact for your argument against the war on drugs when it's not even a true statement to begin with, Chris.
But what okay. Do you have that quote? Because I brought it up that way because I was kind of searching
quote.
For it and seeing
no,
if...
No, I don't have the alleged quote on hand. I remember when it made news about 20 years ago. I was in college, and yeah, Nixon wasn't racist, and again...
We may be talking about a different quote because this was one that just came out within the last couple years.
It was... You've heard it again, then. It was repeated. Again. It's been a lie ever since it came out in the first place.
What quote are we talking about?
Millions of people... The allegation is that the war on drugs was started because Nixon administration was racist and was against hippies. And that's why, like he said, heroin was made illegal because blacks used it. And pot was made illegal because lots of hippies used it.
Okay. Well, pot was made illegal because industrialists didn't want competition to their investments.
I'm not arguing that. Okay. I'm not arguing that, Ian. I'm arguing with Chris based on what he said,
okay.
Which is a lie to begin with.
Can I clarify it then?
It's called a conspiracy theory.
Okay, well, let me clarify it in a couple different ways. I didn't say that Nixon was racist. What I said was that the Nixon administration saw the rise of black power as a threat, and they also saw the peace movement as a threat, and that's what they were attacking. And I have the actual quote. And this was John Ehrlichman, and it just got reported last year. Let me see. According to a 22-year-old, you're right, 22-year-old interview, but it was recently published
in
Harper's. Yeah.
The fabricated quote, Minister, like I keep on saying, and Chris used it as a basis of evidence. He he engaged in an outright lie.
Okay.
To begin with,
I'd still like to
lie.
Hear whatever this quote, this you know, quote is, because I wasn't there for whatever the conversation was.
Fabricated evidence in a court of law.
Okay.
In a conversation.
Okay.
In a
so
debate. That's called making.
Right. I'm just going to put him on hold because he just won't stop talking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. What it was one of Richard Nixon's top advisors and a key figure in the Watergate scandal said the war on drugs was created as a political tool to fight blacks and hippies, according to a 22-year-old interview that was recently published in Harper's Magazine. Quote, the Nixon campaign in 1968 and the Nixon White House after that had two enemies, the anti-war left and black people, former Nixon domestic policy chief John Ehrlichman told Harper's Dan Baum for the April cover story published Tuesday. You understand what I'm saying? We knew we couldn't make it illegal to be either against the war or black, but by getting the public to associate the hippies with marijuana and the blacks with heroin, and then criminalizing both heavily, we could disrupt those communities, Ehrlichman said. We could arrest their leaders, raid their homes, break up their meetings, and vilify them night after night on the evening news. Did we know we were lying about the drugs? Of course we did, unquote. So that's what Ehrlichman said in this 22-year-old interview that wasn't published until last year.
Now, James, are you saying that that quote was never said?
Chris, can I have that much airtime without being interrupted? Again,
all right, well, I've heard enough from you. Thanks for the call. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE. It doesn't matter how much airtime you give some people. It's never enough
for enough,
them.
I know.
And, you know, the more they complain about it, the more I just want to get rid of them. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, because we got other people who appreciate the fact that they can get on a nationally syndicated radio program and talk about anything that they want to talk about. And I tried to ask him a question. What I wanted to know was he claiming that that quote was either never said or that the statement itself was not true?
Right.
I wasn't clear.
I'm not sure either. But James, if I'm sure you're still listening. Next time on the air, probably be next Thursday. Mm-hmm. If you want to call in, we can try to discuss it more.
Let's go to John in Maryland. Our toll-free number, 855-450-FREE. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I'm just getting a kick out of listening to that little exchange there.
Welcome. You're on the air. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Yeah, I appreciate everything you guys are doing.
Thanks.
Grew up in the 60s, and I was one of the hippies from the late 60s and early 70s. I've been a Democrat, I've been a Republican, and I am so disgusted with everybody. I looked at the Libertarian candidate this last election, and everything I've been studying since I retired, the Constitution, the beginning of the country, where they got everything, which can translate into today the same way. I agree with what Washington said when he left office. Political parties, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can have your own philosophy, but every little thing you can turn around. You guys with your Free Keen movement, that is the way to go. You do it locally. There's one thing people are trying to get Congress to put term limits in. From my study of the Constitution, the best way to do it, and you guys up there in New Hampshire probably could get it done. You go ahead and limit them yourself in your state. In your state, you just put a law in your state constitution. You put a clause in the state.
I get the desire for term limits. I get it. Mm-hmm. I understand why people find them valuable because they know that politicians are such scum. They want to have some kind of limitation on the scum being in there for a period of time.
Right.
But term limits, if you actually have a good person in office, is a problem, right? Like if you've got Ron Paul, and Ron Paul, who votes no on everything and is, you know, like a principled dude who he's now gone from office, but for many years he was in there. If Ron Paul only had 2 years, that would have been a tragedy.
Yeah.
But how many Ron Pauls are there?
Well, that's the problem, right? Most of the politicians are scum of the earth. But in New Hampshire, it's a little different. I mean, you mentioned New Hampshire. Here, the entire state legislature and the governor's office is up for election every 2 years.
Right.
So, if the people want those folks out, they can get them out.
And we do. I will say one thing, too, and this sort of supports the caller's point of view, is that if you limit the amount of time somebody could spend in office And realistically, that's saying we're going to limit the amount of money you can receive from special interest groups, because that's basically what it comes down to anymore. It may not be as appealing to a lot of people, and maybe you will get more of the sort of citizen legislator.
Which is what we have in New Hampshire.
Right. So, but we also pay them very little. Which is one of the reasons why
we get people who aren't professional politicians.
Right.
So we've got 400 of them. Go ahead.
If you watch most of these guys down here in Washington, they could really they do a lot of talking about, you know, what they believe in and all that. The only thing they believe in is getting reelected to keep that job.
Yep.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. And aggregating more power to themselves and punishing their enemies and helping their friends. John, good call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you.
Thanks.
The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We got plenty of time for you to join us here. Plus, coming up, we get the chance. We'll talk about the Satanic Temple. They're back in the news, and it's not for what you'd think about they'd be in the news. It's Free Talk Live. Dial in toll-free. Join us on the radio waves here. The number 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype. You can Skype in here at username lrn.fm. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
As we go back to your calls and thoughts, first, I do want to let you know that Bitcoin.com is of the opinion that the current Bitcoin Core development team is not taking satisfactory steps to ensure the growth and advancement of Bitcoin in accordance with Satoshi Nakamoto's vision. As community efforts to resolve these problems have failed, it's necessary to resolve them with a different approach by using subreddit r/BTC instead of r/Bitcoin and running Bitcoin Unlimited. You are casting a vote against the current development team. Learn more at Bitcoin.com. It's a deep topic. We're just scratching the surface of it there. Bitcoin.com. As we go back to your calls and thoughts, actually, a special call on the line here from Ademo Freeman calling us from jail. Hey, Ademo.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man.
It's always good to hear your voice, brother. You know, it was last week that we heard from you for the first time since you had been put in there. You are in on multiple charges after police claimed they smelled marijuana after pulling you over for a burnt-out taillight. They then searched the car, found allegedly 26 or so pounds of cannabis and some alleged hash oil. You've now been charged with multiple felony counts of possession. Oh, those jail phones. They're just wonderful. Anyway.
Right.
Multiple counts of possession and also one with intent to distribute. You're facing how many years?
7 years would be the max if they max me out, 7 years in a state prison.
Wow.
And so what's the latest? How are things going on the inside there?
Well, things are going all right, as good as could be. You know, I had an attorney visit this week, and he mentioned to me that the state, even before my indictment, I haven't even been indicted yet, offered me 1 year in prison, which would ultimately, this phone going to work?
I mean, it is what it is, man. You're in jail.
Well, I could switch to another one if you'd like and give you guys a call back, but I might just be this unit here.
Yeah, you could try it if you want. If you want, we can always take some other folks here. So, all right, thanks for the call, man. We'll have you call back.
Yep.
So yeah, that's jail for you. The technology doesn't always work real well. It's nice that we can actually talk to him, though.
Yeah, it is. And then I'm always surprised when we get a call like that. That, you know.
Well, this is the one show where you can actually have people call in from jail. It's kind of a regular feature.
It's almost sort of what we do.
Yeah, on Free Talk Live. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE. Let's go to your calls, and we'll get a demo back on here as soon as possible. Let's first talk to, I believe we've got Larry in Indianapolis. Larry, you're on Free Talk Live, listening to WIBC.
Hello.
Hi, Larry.
I would like to talk about Donald Trump, how he's making a wall for some reason and keeping away all the Mexicans.
Okay.
I still can't figure out why. I have many Mexican friends.
Well, I don't support the Trump wall, so I mean, I can't explain to you the reason why beyond, you know, that it might just be political pandering.
Yeah, that was my grandson.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, normally Larry from Indianapolis sounds very different.
That's my grandson. I'm training him how to call in to talk shows now, so he might be one of your future callers.
Well, I had a great time in Mexico, and, you know, all the Mexican folks I've ever known have been very kind, very good folks, hardworking individuals with a great work ethic. Yeah.
He goes to school with the Mexicans, and he's all right with that, and he's going to be bilingual, so that's a good thing.
That's great. Yeah. I wished when I was in Mexico that I hadn't cheated in Spanish too.
able to do a little better.
Yeah, I would
learn how to speak properly.
Well, you know, if you go down there and you live there, I'm sure that the immersion helps quite a bit. But just to answer his issue, I mean, I think it's tragic. I mean, if this wall gets built, and I hope it doesn't, but if it does get built, it's going to be a boondoggle. It's going to cost billions more than they think it's going to cost, and it's going to destroy more freedom.
You know, that's the first time he's been on a talk show, so that's I thank you for making it kind of easy on him and letting him get on right away. And that's the highlight of our night.
All right, Larry.
There you go.
Hey, thanks for the call, I appreciate hearing from you. Chris, you were going to jump in there with something about the wall?
No, but we're not paying for it. The Mexicans are paying for it, right? Right? Didn't we clear all that up in the... That was even during the campaign. It's not going to come out of your money. I mean, no.
I think they said later on that it would be a tax on Mexican products, which would be paid by people in the United States.
Oh,
right?
You're kidding.
And his original idea was that he was going to tax remittances, which would have been a tax on money going to Mexico instead. So it would have been a different way to route that. But I suspect the banks and the Western unions pushed back against that idea.
Yeah.
And I imagine that's why that went nowhere.
And for some people, I mean, who believe strongly that, you know, Mexicans are simultaneously too lazy to work and come here for the welfare and also will take your job, I still haven't wrapped my head around this Schrodinger's Mexican who can do these things simultaneously. But it's going to be ineffective. I mean, I'm sorry, there's boats that can go right around the coast, and they do that in San Diego all the time. They do it on the Gulf Coast. They will build tunnels.
Tunnels.
There will be El Chapo.
They've had tunnels.
Yeah.
And tunnels are not new technology here.
No.
And they've had air-conditioned tunnels, the drug gangs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With like trains in them and all kinds of stuff. So it's
big tunnels that you can stand up in. Like you can just take a leisurely stroll or get on a motorbike and bike across. I mean, they've got some pretty nice tunnels down there.
And I guess for some of the president's supporters, that's going to give them a feel good moment. You know, look, we finally built this. But the reality is it's not going to do it.
It will keep people in, though. That will be good.
Well,
at that.
There you go. Well, we can go around it too, or we can go under it. But it does
make life more difficult. I mean,
it totally ignores the economic impact of slowing down the availability of affordable labor for areas like agriculture and hotel work and a lot of service industry is supported by jobs by people that are willing to take jobs that Americans themselves will not take.
It's true.
Because it's not economical to pay somebody minimum wage to change a hotel bed.
It's absolutely true that Americans won't take a lot of those jobs. And we found that was the truth a few years ago when it was, I believe, the state of Georgia. It was right after Alabama passed a immigration crackdown bill.
Right.
Georgia did something similar. And there were people who were Mexican who left Georgia as a result of that because they felt like the winds were changing and it's time to get out of here. Find a more friendly place to go. And so they left their jobs, which of course were in fields.
Mm-hmm.
And the old claim is, well, they're taking Americans' jobs. So if you just, you know, let the Americans have those jobs, then the Americans will be employed. Well, guess what? Nobody was signing up to go out and work in the fields. And they actually got the probationers.
Yeah.
The people who are going out, people who are in prison, who were getting out on probation, say, hey, you guys, you need some work. Here, go out into the fields. And they brought these probationers out. Most of them walked off the job the same day or didn't return the next day.
Right.
That was it. One day maximum. So the food literally rotted on the vines.
Unreal.
Toll-free number 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Ross Ulbricht was convicted in early 2015 of running the infamous Silk Road Underground Market. The Silk Road was a gift to humanity and helped reduce the harms brought on by drug prohibition. For this good deed, Ross has been sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole. Now, an appeal is Ross's only chance, and he needs your support. Please visit FreeRoss.org, where you can contribute via various methods, including Bitcoin. Visit FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org. Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves. All you have to do is dial in toll-free and bring up anything you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Joining you in studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
We're going to go back to your calls and your thoughts. Let's go to Adamo Freeman. He's back with us. He's found a better line, he says, there in the Warren County Jail in Warren County, Ohio, where you didn't intend to end up. This was not an instance of civil disobedience that ended you up there, Adamo. It was a nosy cop who claimed he smelled marijuana. When he pulled you over for a burnout taillight, they ended up finding some marijuana, allegedly, in the car. And you're now charged with multiple felony counts, facing up to 7 years in prison. Now, is it 7 years per count, or is it seven
total?
No, I have two F3s and an F. Five, and the two F3s are possession of THC. They're both the same, but one is for the flower and one is for the alleged concentrates. And then the F5 is for trafficking. And so the two F3s carry a 1 to 3 year sentence, and the F5 is a 1 year sentence.
I see.
And so it's 7 years total if they would max me out and run consecutive, which is what I was trying to say beforehand, which is always the threat that they give you if you take it to trial, you know. And
sure.
What I found out last week through my attorney was that even before being indicted, which I expect to happen this week via grand jury, they offered me 1 year, you know, during to do a bill of information, basically avoiding their little fake process of justice, copping out to it right now and taking a year, you know, which, you know, I told them no, because if you're offering me a year already, then I feel like that I'm on the right side of this case. And, and like you mentioned, it wasn't a burnt-out taillight. He said it was a burnt-out license plate light. And
Sorry.
I think it was even, it's a minor detail. But to me, I would have noticed a burnt-out brake light or something like that. But to me, I believe this was more of a fishing expedition. You know, I'm more interested in getting my discovery and seeing how truthful this officer is, because as we all know, officers routinely do these things just to go on fishing expeditions.
Sure.
He was in the car, see what's going on. It was just after dark. You know, maybe he was bored. I don't know. But, you know, there could be a cause for, you know, dismissal in the earlier stages. Maybe they know that already if they're offering me a year.
Right. Were you known to these officers? I mean, did they know you as a Damo, the cop blocker, or...?
No, I mean, I wasn't even in my own car.
Gotcha.
And I'm definitely known to the Ohio State Troopers. They knew who they got after they pulled me over. I've spent almost 2 years in Ohio, I told the trooper, like, I'm like, you're the first trooper to actually have the balls to pull me over. But, he didn't know
he was pulling over.
Right.
So he didn't know. But when he pulled me out of the car and he saw my Am I Free to Go shirt on, my cop block tattoo, normally they interrogate you and stuff like that. I was the one doing the interrogating or the questioning.
Right.
You know, I was asking them who they were protecting, who are they keeping safe, you know, and if they had anything better to do in this county, like, you know, find murderers and rapists and thieves who actually have victims.
Apparently not.
That's right.
Now, the plea deal that was offered to you, 1 year, would there have been a probation? Would there have been a suspended sentence? Or would
I'm getting mixed reviews on that. The prosecutor can't put those things in writing, you know. And like this county is pretty—it's got a heavy hardcore drug problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so even just this past week, a man who thought he was going to go home on the ankle bracelet / house arrest is actually headed to prison for 2 years because he did what's called an open plea deal. You know, I know better than to ever sign an open plea deal. And for those who are listening that don't know, an open plea deal is when
the state will recommend something to the judge, but you haven't been promised anything.
Right.
But it's totally reversed. You are promised things. They do tell you that you'll get this and that, and that the state will or the judge will heed their advice.
If it's not in writing, then it's not a deal.
Right, exactly. And so that would be what I'm concerned about. I won't sign anything that, A, isn't in writing, and, B, right now I'm not interested in any probation. I'm interested in ending this case as soon as possible and leaving this state. I'll no longer live in a state that has prohibition.
Right.
So
now we know that generally a plea deal tends to stay on the table. So even if you don't take it right now, there is always the possibility that it'll still be available even once, you know, the indictment comes in or the discovery comes in. And a lot of times, sometimes the deal gets even better. I remember when Rich Paul, who was a co-host here on Free Talk Live, when he was facing 80 years or 100 years in prison for selling cannabis here in New Hampshire, they offered him, I forget what the initial deal was, but then right before trial, they literally, like a day or two before trial, they offered him no time in jail. That was the plea deal, the very last-minute plea deal they offered. And he actually didn't take it. He went to trial, ended up getting sentenced to a year. So had he taken the plea in that case, he would have done a lot better. So there is a possibility that they could make this a better deal down the line.
Yeah, I mean, everything you said is exactly true. And sometimes, you know, it can go either way, and most commonly it goes to your favor. Some inmates here have told me they don't remember the last time this county had a trial.
I believe it.
In a drug charge, particularly. And so that's interesting in the onset. But I've really diverted my attention from that because I feel that's several months away, trial or any of these additional offers. My focus now is to be indicted and hopefully get my bond lowered and come out. I've come to the realization that since this is not activism, my best chance of fighting this is from the outside. I'm in a jail that has no law library, that has no access to any sort of, you know, legal representation or whatever to help.
Right.
You know, I know I have an attorney, but I'd like to be involved. I mean, if anyone who knows me knows that I'm a go-getter and a doer, and I want to have my hands on in this case. I'm not just going to let an attorney decide my fate. And so, you know, that's my focus now. I'm really hoping that on this coming Monday I'm indicted, by Wednesday I'm in court, and that hopefully that they can lower my bond so that I can have a possibility of getting out here. You know, this has put me at a darn near financial ruin and is putting a lot of other stresses in my life. And so I'd like to get out, you know, to prepare for those things and try to correct some of that stuff.
No doubt. And you're already more than a month in there, what, 6 weeks now or something like that?
Yeah, I think I'm on 38 days or so, approaching 40.
Yep.
So, you know, hopefully that's enough for the state to realize, like, if they want a year out of me, well, you know, you get good time and stuff like that. So I'm almost like one eighth of the way there, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, hopefully that they realize my bond of $75,000 is ridiculous.
Right.
And Lord, I'm hoping to argue, if my attorney doesn't successfully, I'll do it myself for an OR bond. You know, I've never missed a day of court. I've been facing more time than this. And, you know, it's not something I'm running from. I'm more than happy to take something that's been a problem in my life for most of my life to the court and take that stage and microphone and speak the truth.
Right.
About the war on drugs.
Ademo, appreciate, as always, everything that you do. You are the founder, for those that don't know, I don't think we've mentioned this yet with your call here, you are the founder of copblock.org, great website that continues in your absence. And I know that a lot of people care about you, man. We're paying attention. And is there anything else that we can do for you tonight?
That's it. Just I'd like to echo the sentiments to you guys as well. So I appreciate all you guys doing, the support, and the people that are writing me letters. It's all really appreciated. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I got this one last hurrah in me because, you know, I think Pete and I are the only activists to actually get not guilties in felony charges, so at least that I can remember. So hopefully I got one more in me.
Well, next week, whether you end up getting bailed out or you end up staying in, definitely call us either way, okay?
Well, certainly will. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, brother. Have a good night.
Take care, man.
You too.
All right. That's Ademo Freeman, founder of copblock.org. You can go there, learn more about his case. And I'll probably put the archive up from just his interview tonight, because that's news. He's already got a plea deal offer on the table, and he hasn't even been indicted yet.
That just drives me nuts. I mean, isn't that, again, going back to these core principles, you know, you should not You'll be secure in your person's, places, things. You have right to a speedy trial.
Sure.
And they hold you for 6 weeks, and he hasn't even been charged yet.
That's right. Well, he's been charged, but not indicted.
Indicted. Thank you.
Whatever that means. Yeah, there's a grand jury, right? They have to go to the grand jury. They have to present the evidence that they have. And then the grand jury, of course, is like a group of yes men. They always say yes. It seems like 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves here. This is Free Talk Live. We're coming up. Free Talk Live, you can dial toll-free and join us on the radio waves here. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And we've got Skype. The Skype username is lrn.fm. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
And I didn't want to bring this up while we had Adamo Freeman on the line with us, just because I didn't want to rub it in. My Pillow.
his probably sucks.
Yeah, his definitely sucks. He's in jail. The MyPillow is the best pillow I've used, and that's why I continue to use it. If it wasn't great, I would have stopped pretty quickly, but it really is a great pillow. And Chris, I understand you've had one for much longer than I.
Yeah, several years.
I didn't know about it because I don't watch TV. I guess I've got a big TV ad campaign. So.
Yeah, they've been big in advertising for a long time.
Yeah, I totally was unaware of it, but I was really glad to find out about it because I love this pillow. And you can get yours at half off by using code FTL. That's FTL like Free Talk Live. That's your discount code over at MyPillow.com. It is designed to fit to the shape of your body and hold your neck in the proper position. It's also washable and dryable. You can put it in your washer and dryer, and it's still usable after that. In fact, it's designed for that. MyPillow.com. Use code FTL. Get your MyPillow at half price or two for the price of one with code FTL at MyPillow.com. Let's go to Max. He's on the line here. Max, the Libertarian candidate for governor here in New Hampshire back in 2016, saw you today at the convention.
Yeah, I think I saw you about an hour ago. Are you guys picking me up okay?
Yep. You sound great.
Sound great.
Okay, I got one of those professional microphones, but I've never actually used this for a phone call.
Cool. Sounds good. Go ahead.
So, yeah, it's tough hearing from Adamo again.
I know.
That, you know, potentially he's facing 7 years. Now, maybe it's more realistic he'd do a year or two if it doesn't work out well. But in my opinion, that's exactly what the Libertarian Party exists to fight. As Brendan Kelly, who was the former LPNH chair a few years ago, who couldn't make it to the convention today, he used to say, well, you know, the purpose of the party is to get people elected to state house and actually do something.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked over the years about what I've been calling blue ocean strategy, but really it's just the idea that all these urban areas and college towns and whatnot have turned into safe Democratic districts, and the people who run as Democrats are kind of picked by the party bosses. And so, you know, to be blunt, if you're voting Democrat, you're just voting for all these people who are kind of appointed as part of the good old boy network.
Mm-hmm.
And we've looked at their liberty scores, and they're like 25%, and the ones coming out of urban areas are like 13%, 14%. So it's really bad. And we've looked at freedom parties, classical liberal parties all around the world, the ones that have succeeded, and they're doing best in urban areas and college towns. And it doesn't matter if it's Switzerland or Germany or Britain or wherever. And that's exactly where we can get people elected. In fact, when we looked at the poll numbers for my campaign, all I talked about was just getting money, power, and decision-making back down to the local level and back to the people. And I said that on almost every talk radio show I was on. And sure enough, that's where we got the highest vote numbers. Most of those people, the Republican Party's pretty much abandoned a lot of those big cities and college towns and some
so you're
of those,
saying it's a big opportunity for the Libertarian Party to come into those places and compete.
Right, because if you run in a more socially conservative area, more Republican-leaning area, usually what people say after you've run once or twice, it's all the Republicans say, well, why don't you just run as a Republican?
Right.
And then, of course, they'll vote for you, and they much rather have a Libertarian than a Rhino. And Rhinos are kind of big government, prohibitionist, you know, neocon, bomb other countries, you know, the worst of both worlds. And but we consistently find I got 8% of the vote among people under age 50. They did a mock poll and high school students. They got 11% of the vote among high school students. So the purpose is to get people elected, to replace some of these really authoritarian, corrupt machine politics Democrats and replace them with libertarians who are actually there to represent the people. And I think that what happened at the convention today with the, I guess you could call them anarcho-secessionist or whatever branch that is, the executive council and Daryl, and I've got a lot of respect for Daryl. He's definitely a very principled person, but I don't think that's – I think that's more like a debate club type of approach. I think that we have to be a political party. 60% of Americans in a recent poll said that we really need a third party in this country, and 72% of independent voters said we need a third party. And I've talked to Thomas Simmons. I've talked to a lot of the really high profile candidates. I even spoke with Bill Weld briefly at the convention, LP convention in Florida. And I think that there's a growing feeling we have to grow into a big tent party. In other words, bring people into the Libertarian Party first and then, you know, work on them as time goes on, because we're seeing all these Bernie supporters who are leaving the Democrat Party. We're seeing all these progressives. We're seeing people on the left. We're seeing people on the right. People are giving up.
Well,
some of
I
the
think
old-
what was said today at the convention, and you know, you and I are going to disagree on this, Max, but what was said today is, yeah, and I think it was Roger Paxton, who's the vice chairman of the New Hampshire Libertarian Party, who was reelected as vice chairman today, along with Darrell Perry, reelected as chair. He pointed out that, yeah, let's have a big tent, but you don't want to let the people who just joined the party or these unprincipled folks run for office and start, you know, wearing the libertarian label in front of people. You know, it's fine to welcome them into the party and say, hey, here's how you can learn about liberty. But to allow them to take the reins of the party or to run as candidates when they don't really understand the ideas of liberty is dangerous to what we're trying to do.
You know, there was brief mention about a year and a half ago. Michael Bloomberg was suggesting running for president. He has so much money. And there was a hint or a suggestion that Michael Bloomberg might come for the LP nomination. That was just a rumor, but I don't think
that would have been terrifying.
Yeah. I don't think that would ever really happen, but
Is Bill Weld really that much better than Michael Bloomberg?
Yeah, I guess where I come from on this stuff, Max, I think about it, and I agree with what you're saying. In the larger, more democratic areas, libertarians can offer a real stark difference to traditional progressivism, and probably less so versus conservatism. You know what I mean? Because we're always going to have that label of like, well, you know, libertarians are fiscally conservative, so they must be sort of like conservatives. We don't stand out as much as we do against true progressivism.
And what I'm saying is the successful – I actually brought a handout there, a whole list of successful, you know, classical liberal, personal freedom, economic freedom parties all over the Western world. Frequently, they're mergers of two smaller parties or what have you, but they succeed by focusing in a few core areas where you've got a lot of younger voters. That's where they succeed. And the impression that I'm getting is that folks like Daryl and Roger are favoring positions that only about 5 or 10% of people support. And yet we have all these political positions out there already where 60, 70, 80, sometimes 90% of people come our way on an issue. And when we're talking about a libertarian party, we're talking about electing representatives who are free to represent their district and not be controlled by the party bosses like the Democrat Party is. And of course, like Sean Jasper, who's this corrupt Speaker of the House. But I would ask people just to go to isidewith.com. And there's something like 45 million people have used isidewith.com to look at how other people have voted and what positions people take. And it even breaks it down by political party and state and county and whatnot, or congressional district. And you can see where, you know, the issues that people are taking. And sure enough, in these urban areas, the voters on the issues are generally more fiscally conservative than voters in general, but they're more socially liberal.
See, the thing is, Max, you know, I understand where you're coming from, and this has always been the divide within the Libertarian Party. I've been involved with the Libertarian Party to some extent or another for basically my entire adult life. I did resign from the National LP in 2008, so there was a couple years there where I didn't do anything for the LP, but then I joined the New Hampshire Libertarians probably in like 2010 or somewhere in that range. And I, you know, the reason I'm involved with the New Hampshire Party is because I perceive them to be more principled. And I got excited by the ideas of liberty, which are the principled ideas of liberty, not some watered down approach of pandering to voters or big tent. It's the principle of non-aggression that is what got me interested.
That's terrific. But yeah. For every one of you, I've gotten almost every, not every day, say about two or three times a week, I'm getting contacts from people who have left the two parties, some from the left, some from the right. They're usually independent voters now, and they're shopping around for a third party. And sure enough, I get contacted by people, like I say, two or three times a week. And it's either, you know, they've talked to LP National or they talked to the state officials here, and they're anarchists or they're secessionists. And they're taking positions that realistically, if you were to run as a candidate, you have absolutely no chance of winning. I've gone door to door.
Well, of course some people are going to be upset by that. I mean, we're never going to make everybody happy. Thank you, Max, for your call tonight. We're never going to make everybody happy.
Well, you will if you adopt everybody else's positions.
Which I don't think that should be the goal of the Libertarian Party. If you want to pander,
right,
then go ahead and start another third party. We can have more than three. 855-450-FREE. More coming up. Why did you move to the Shire?
I moved here to the Shire because there's other people around who take liberty just as seriously as I do.
I moved to the Shire because I saw videos of people challenging authority and thought that I could get support myself. It called to me, like, do this right now.
I wanted to be around people like me who got it. And once I got here, I knew there was nowhere else that I wanted to be.
I've always wanted to change the world. So I moved to the Shire to join people who were actually working towards doing the same thing.
The people here are awesome, loving, and positive. It was for the adventure and for the feeling of something important is happening here, and I just wanted to come to sort of be part of that.
Visit ShireSociety.com to read and sign the Shire Society Declaration and learn the reasons why, if you love liberty, you should immigrate to the Shire. Plus, add yourself to the Shire map at ShireSociety.com. That's ShireSociety.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. We're launching into the third hour of the program, the live Saturday edition of Free Talk Live. With you here tonight, it's Ian
and Chris.
Our Skype username, should you wish to connect with us there, is lrn.fm. Of course, you can take control of the airwaves. You can bring up anything that's on your mind. I did mention we have a story about the Satanic Temple. They're back in the news. If we get a chance, we'll get to that. But your calls and thoughts come first here. Let's go to Ben. He's in Lynchburg, Virginia, listening to WLNI. Hey, Ben.
Hi, how are you this evening?
Welcome, sir. You're on the air.
Great.
I got a couple of things I want to bounce off of you. Number one, I am a second-generation Mexican, and your position that the wall will not work is totally flawed. At the end of the day, if you've been fishing and your boat's leaking, first thing you do is plug your hole.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you know, you work on fixing it, just stopping it altogether. And you say that it can't be done. It can be done.
Oh, I didn't say it can't be done. I said it'll be done at billions and billions of dollars more than what they say it'll be done for. And that it ultimately won't stop anyone who's determined to get here.
You don't know that, and I don't know that.
Oh, yeah. It's easy to know that. The government always costs more to do whatever it is that they want to do than what they expect it's going to cost. Always.
And they've come out with a price tag. Go ahead.
No, it's not hard to say.
We've got Donald Trump running the show. Everything he's ever done has came in under budget.
Brother, just because Donald Trump can run a business doesn't mean that he can do anything more efficiently in government. You have to understand, government doesn't have the same incentives that business does.
And the Trump Corporation is not building the wall. Government.
I understand that. Yeah. I do understand that. But, you know, he's also saved us money on these jets. He saved us money on a lot of things.
He hasn't saved you any money? Did you get a refund? I mean, the taxes aren't going down. I haven't heard anybody saying they're paying less in taxes.
We've only been in there 90 days.
Fine. Jeez. Let's see what happens in a year.
And on that, you're exactly right.
That's my point.
Yeah.
That's exactly my point. Yeah. You know, just let us see what happens. But, you know, don't just say it can't happen. Because
I didn't say anything can't happen. Well, I said it can. It's just going to cost a lot.
Yeah, let me offer my...
The wall needs to happen. It needs
no, it
to
doesn't.
Happen. That goes without saying. Are you going to stop 100% of it? No, you're not going to stop 100%. But if you can stop 90% of it, that's mission accomplished in my world.
Yep. Well, I mean, time will tell because this thing is going to go up. It doesn't seem like anybody's going to be able to stop it, and we'll find out how effective it is. Ian's point, which I think is dead on, is if people are determined to get into the country, there's all kinds of different ways to get into the country.
And, you take the lock on a door. All a lock on a door does is keep an honest man out. If somebody wants to get in your house, they will get in your house.
That's true.
I'm a former state trooper, so I mean, I understand these things.
And that's why we say if, because you may be right. The wall may actually be successful at keeping people out, but the reason for that would be because there's a police state on the other side of the wall, meaning that if life in America becomes worse than life in Mexico, then people aren't going to want to come here.
Right.
If it's that hard to live here, if the economy sucks that bad, if it's that much of a police state, if people are having their houses raided regularly, businesses are being raided, there's a culture of fear as an immigrant here in the United States, then yeah, they might just not even try to come here in the first place.
Probably,
but then we'll be living in a police state.
It should be a culture of fear. You broke the law coming over the fence.
Huh?
I said it should be a culture of fear. If you broke the law getting over here, you're illegal. You need to go back.
You know what I think we need? Welcome centers.
What is that? What do you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Immigrants that are coming from Mexico. Here's a nice, big, friendly-looking welcome center. You come up to it. You say, hi, how are you doing? Welcome to America.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Yeah, ¿cómo está? And what do you want to do here in America? Well, I would like to work in agriculture.
Absolutely. If they're legal, absolutely.
Right.
My granddad, when he came to the
country, how about you legalize immigration then?
He had a skill that our country needed. That's how he got here.
Right.
Our country needs anyone who wants to come here and make a better life for themselves. There's not specific skills. There's not some set of bureaucrats out there that should get to decide who does and who doesn't come here.
No, but
in your assessment earlier that, you know, Americans won't work. I mean, I grew up pulling tobacco, and I used to pull along with a bunch of Mexicans. So, I mean, and that was what you call entry level. I mean, I pulled tobacco up until I couldn't do it anymore.
Right.
So, I mean, it's entry level. You confuse entry level positions with people that career positions.
No, I didn't confuse anything. I gave a specific example of food that was rotting on the vine after Mexicans left Georgia, after Georgia passed an anti-immigration law, because a bunch of people from America, from North America, from the United States, did not want those jobs.
Same That's, thing happened that was the in example. Alabama.
Yeah.
I grew up in a very agricultural area in on the West Coast in Eastern Oregon, and if it hadn't been for Mexican immigrants, I mean, we would have the same thing happening. There were just not people willing to go shuck frickin' watermelons into a truck 6 feet off the ground or pick honeydews or stuff like that, and they fulfilled a need. I look at this as an economic question. If there's a demand for a product, even if that product is simply labor at a certain price, then we should be welcoming those who wish to come over here and do it. Now, if you come to my fictitious welcome center and you say, what do you want to do? Ah, I hear you got a really good welfare system here, and I'd just like to live off that for a few years and get fat and happy. Well, then I don't see a role.
Yeah, I come to the wrong place.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's very different than saying, yes, we do need people that will work in the service industry for very low pay, because that's the only way that we can make our products available to our customers at a reasonable price.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. However, there is a legal way to do it. And all I'm saying is just be legal and come on. And we'll
the legal way's garbage, dude.
How about making the legal way way, way, way easier?
That's something that absolutely needs to happen.
Okay, good. Then agree with you there.
Right.
Look at that. We got to have reform there.
Yeah. How about we just abolish the INS or the ICE, get rid of all those bureaucrats?
But they're not bureaucrats. I've been
in
law enforcement. I just was like that to deal with stuff like that.
By definition, they're bureaucrats. They're people who push pencils.
Anarchy, have anarchy.
They're bureaucrats because they work for the government. That's like the definition of a bureaucrat.
They work for bureaucracies.
Yeah.
Well, right. But, okay, how are you going to do that?
Well, I can't. I mean, the U.S. government's going to fail before any bureaucracies get abolished. I mean, the government's going to...
I don't know. Trump's got some interesting things to say on that, too.
Oh, really?
Well,
think Trump's going to abolish some bureaucracies?
He's at least passed some executive orders that are calling for, I think it's OMB, to look at every single government agency and evaluate its worth. That's something we haven't talked about on the air as far as I know, but it is kind of interesting.
That's a part of draining the swamp.
Well, once the swamp level starts going down, then I'll believe it when I see it. Hey, thanks, Ben, for your call tonight.
Appreciate it.
The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. Till then, it's all talk. And it's talk I can appreciate, you know, and they say things that sound nice. Great. Let's see the action.
I won't even say I'm cautiously optimistic. I say that sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds, some of these things Trump has said have been that honestly I would have expected like year one of a Ron Paul presidency to come out of. And that's it's encouraging, but I'm jaded. I'm skeptical.
Oh, yeah. For good reason.
I've got my whole life where I've just looked at Washington really not doing anything positive.
Yeah. It's hard to listen to you know, a call like that where somebody who claimed they have a Mexican background but yet want to restrict access to the country, it's like, oh, I got in the club. Now the rest of y'all get to stay out.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's hard to listen to that.
Well, but it's interesting. A lot of the people that are very much against illegal immigration are legal immigrants.
The ones who jumped through the hoops.
Right, who did all, crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's, and they did it the right way in their mind.
Yeah, it's,
they feel that they should.
The bureaucratic way, the burdensome way, the expensive way.
Sure. I mean,
and at least we did agree with him that it needs to be easier. So that was the one point that we agreed with Ben on, that it should not be so hard for good people to come here and make a better life for themselves. And it is damn hard. I mean, we were just talking with a guy the other night, Mustafa from Sierra Leone, and he was talking about how hard it is to just get a damn visa to come visit here.
Right. Right.
It costs $160, which for you and I...
Sierra Leone.
Yeah, for you and I, it's not the end of the world, likely, but if you are in Sierra Leone, that is probably half a year's worth of labor.
Crazy.
And so you give them $160, and then they come back to you and say, well, rejection. Application denied. Thanks for the $160. Have a nice day.
Right.
$855, $450-FREE. And that same stuff happens with people trying to move here permanently as well. Application denied. It is Free Talk Live. You can join us right here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, and you can Skype on in here at username lrn.fm. With you in the studio here with you tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
And I also want to let you know about HostGator. If you've been thinking about starting a website, but you've been putting it off, well, now's the time to take action, because you can get 50% off because you're a Free Talk Live listener. Just go to HostGator.com/FTL. That's /FTL, like Free Talk Live. HostGator, one of the top hosting companies out there with a 99.99% uptime rating, 24/7 over the phone or live chat tech support, a very intuitive and user-friendly control panel that puts the power of creation and the simplicity of use into your hands, and they've got a simple one-click easy installation for WordPress. HostGator makes it easy to kick off your own website or blog. Go to HostGator.com/FTL. That's HostGator.com/FTL, like Free Talk Live. As we continue, we'll take your calls, your thoughts, to the phones, to the fun. Let's go to John in Indianapolis, listening to WIBC-FM. Hello, John.
Yes, I was just listening to you talk to the Mexican guy that was on there that was a legal immigrant. And I think you guys are completely off base. I don't think you're really libertarians.
Huh?
I really don't think just because you say you're a libertarian, you're undermining the Constitution. You basically, by having open borders, you really are undermining what's going to, you know, allow a constitution to live longer or exist, because you can't bring all these Mexican people into this country and undermine our election process and our economy. I mean, you have to understand, we have people, a standard of living that we are trying to protect in this country. We're a nation of laws, and we were trying to protect people so we would... working families would make enough money, and when you increase the supply of poor people and labor people, you basically reduce the wage rates and you make people desperate.
Okay.
And what you're doing is you're undermining the overall economy, which makes our nation weaker. And I really don't think what you guys do, this anarchy way of looking at things.
I'm not an anarchist.
You're going to ruin libertarianism because without when our constitution.
All right, stop right there. You're repeating yourself now.
Yeah, let me throw a couple things at you because
I just think you're totally wrong.
I think Chris has a question or an observation here. So. Oh, you just muted yourself, Chris. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's good when I hit the mute button on myself. No, I was going to ask, I mean, where in the Constitution does it talk about immigration? And I would say that everything that we're saying now was also said about the Irish. That's sort of fresh in my mind because it was St. Patrick's Day yesterday.
No, it's not bullcrap. It's true.
No, it was.
In 1965, we changed our immigration policy. We used to have, we've always had immigration laws in this country.
Sure.
In 1965, we changed our immigration policy. And then what we've done is we've opened up the southern border. You have to understand, we entered into World War I because the Germans tried to undermine our country by inciting the Mexicans to come in and try to create racial tension between the black and the white people in this country. And we went to World War I. We entered into World War I because they were going to invade our country and undermine our government.
Yeah, I'm going to beg to differ with you on that one.
What the heck are you talking about?
Your policy is undermining our government.
Okay, well, ridiculous. Let me ask you this. Where in the Constitution does it talk about the government's role, constitutional role, to protect people's jobs, protect people's livelihood?
Our libertarian view is that you have to protect the safety of your people.
No, sir.
And if you undermine their financial well-being,
you're not even answering the question.
Yeah, I just asked a constitutional question. You keep bringing up the Constitution. Where does the Constitution talk about protecting?
It basically says right in the Constitution that you have to be a citizen to be president. We're a nation
true.
Of laws, and we set up the Constitution.
That didn't answer his question.
Sets up our immigration laws.
Shouting loud. I'm just going to put you on hold at this point. Shouting louder is non-responsive.
Yeah, I'd love to have this conversation, but he asserts some things that he attributes to the Constitution that I don't see in my reading of the Constitution.
There's nothing in the Constitution about immigration. It mentions naturalization.
Sure, and
that's very different.
That is something that is a delegated power to the federal government. I get that, but this idea that we have to protect our jobs and things like that, you know,
that's protectionism is what he's calling for there.
Yeah, and I respect that. If that's his opinion, that's his opinion. I can disagree with that.
But it has nothing to do, John, with libertarianism. And this is my question for you, is what does it mean to be libertarian? Since you are the judge of whether or not we're libertarians, what's it mean?
You have to understand, it's a political party, and you need to have responsible immigration laws.
You don't know anything about it, dude. I'm sorry.
Yes, I know a lot about it.
No, you don't. Then what is it to be? What does it mean to be a libertarian?
Communism is a theory, and libertarianism is a theory. But we are talking about the libertarian
It's not a theory.
Political party.
No, we're not. We're talking about libertarianism as a philosophy. What is the libertarian philosophy?
Just like communism would be a theory. Just like fascism would be a theory.
No, what is a libertarian philosophy? If you don't know the answer, it's okay to say I don't know.
Yeah.
Just admit it. Well, you don't
know the answer, and I do know you guys aren't libertarians.
What's the answer?
From a political party perspective.
What is the answer? Last chance.
You're globalist. That's
last chance, John. Last chance. Goodbye. All right, so a libertarian, for those who don't know, like John, is somebody who believes in the non-aggression principle. That's it. Now, there is a libertarian party.
And let's talk about what that is.
Yeah,
because
and they subscribe to the non-aggression principle. That's their basis as a political party.
But what is the non-aggression principle?
It is the idea that you should not use or threaten aggressive force against other people.
And does that count for governments, too?
Correct.
Yeah, and that is the part that a lot of people can't wrap their heads around, that, you know, we all know that I can't, you know, threaten you, say, give me your money.
Yeah, that's wrong.
That's obviously wrong. That's robbery, and that's wrong. But when government does it, they say, pay me your taxes, or I'll throw you in jail. It's hard for people to get over that hump between, you know, what we know is right in our own lives. They put blind faith in government to do the right thing. Yet that basic simple truth doesn't apply to the government. That's where people get hung up. I'd like to
step
to
up the example. I mean, he doesn't want to have a conversation. But, you know, maybe somebody else on the line does. By the way, lines are loaded up right now. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE. I like the example you gave of it's wrong for you to, you know, point a knife at me or a gun or you know, threaten to kidnap my kids or whatever and say, if you don't do what I say, if you don't give me X amount of dollars, I'm going to hurt you. That's obviously wrong. We all know that. It's also wrong for you to gather up 10 of your neighbors and come to me with a gang of people
exactly.
and say, hey, if you don't hand over all of your money or half of your money, we're going to hurt you or your family. That's obviously also wrong.
But
how many people, if you gathered 1,000 people, would that make it okay? If you gathered 10,000 people, would that make it okay? Or if you formed a government, would that make it okay?
Right. Or if I voted for somebody to represent me and go threaten you, does that make it okay?
Of course not. Then they're just your agent doing your bidding.
Exactly. And that's the part that's kind of hard for people to get over.
The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We got time for you. We'll get you on here coming up. You can take control of the airwaves. It's the live Saturday edition of Free Talk Live.
The three most important things you can do for Free Talk Live are, one, share one episode a week on Facebook or in some other social networking site. Two, buy the things you buy online through shop.freetalklive.com. Three, give $5 a month to the AMP program. It's my firm belief that Free Talk Live's AMP program is the best use of your charitable dollar among liberty-oriented organizations. Support all the organizations you love. But make sure you give $5 a month to AMP at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can dial toll-free here, and you can bring up anything that you want. Even if you're dead wrong and you don't know what you're talking about. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
You can join us online. Just go to freetalklive.com. Get interactive there. You can actually create the content that you'll see there on the front page of the website. It is a Reddit-based system, and it's free to use. So go and get interactive over at freetalklive.com. You can also download archives that go back for a decade. That's a lot of listening that you can possibly do there. You can watch and listen live. You can get interactive in a variety of ways over at freetalklive.com. Unlike those other talk show hosts in our business, our website is free. So enjoy it at freetalklive.com. As we continue with your calls and thoughts, let's go to Chris. He's in Indianapolis listening to WIBC-FM. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
What's on your mind tonight?
The immigration.
All right.
I think we need to put a stop to it. We've been enticing them here for 35 years or so, and
you want to stop all immigration?
Or are you just referring to illegal immigration?
I think we ought to stop the illegal.
Okay.
And we need to stop them coming across right now. Put a halt to it because it's out of hand.
So what
we've been enticing them here? We've been enticing them here for 30 years. You know, we've been working them. We've been working them pretty much like slaves. And then all of a sudden, and I wanted to throw them out too, but I took a little second look and humanity look at it and think, hey, we've been doing this. And so, now we want to get rid of them, so throw them out. We really can't do that.
Okay. The food will rot on the vines. That'd be bad, right?
Well, I don't know. It probably would for a while. I kind of disagree with that we – are the people that are here won't pick it.
They won't.
Because like I say, it's been 30 years us enticing them over here, and we've trained Americans not to do that.
Do you want to go pick a bunch of cantaloupes in the hot sun for 10 hours a day, 12?
And if I can ask, do you feel that Americans are softer than they were 30 or 50 years ago? By softer, I just mean not as willing to do manual labor. They would rather, work in a cubicle.
Well, we've trained them. We've trained them that way.
Right. So we probably don't have a lot.
That way.
Yeah, we probably don't have a lot of people that are willing to go out and work 9-10 hour days and his grandfather.
Yeah.
Americans want to get paid by the hour, not by the cantaloupe.
Right.
Right. That's yet to be seen.
It isn't yet to be seen. We've already seen examples of it in Georgia and Alabama.
That's what I'm saying. That's because we've trained them over the years. Over the years, we've entice them to come in.
Yeah, I got you. Chris, tell me more about what you want to do to stop it. You said you want to stop illegal immigration. So what, in your vision of how you would stop illegal immigration, if Chris were in charge, if Chris were, you know, the Trump, you know, you get to decide these things with, and Congress will just go along with whatever you say, what would you propose?
What's that look like?
Well, it's a pretty difficult question to ask a bus driver.
You have some ideas. Go ahead.
I don't know. You know, building a wall.
Okay, wall.
They're saying build the wall, but, you know, how much is that going to cost? And
billions.
And like you say, they got, you know, they'll tunnel underneath it or whatever. It's just, what do you do about it?
Right.
But just to say, you know, just open the borders and see what happens, I guess. That's what I presume that you folks.
Well, that's what some people like. Some people like completely open borders. I like the idea of trying to fit people who desire to come here with needs that exist in our country. So, for example, you know, our agricultural sector, like I said, it's very hard to find native-born Americans who are willing to go throw watermelons for 9-10 hours a day during harvest season. Maybe that's an area where, you know what, we need, you know, we've got requests for 100,000 workers for this harvest season.
Right. So what you're doing is you're actually enticing slave labor.
No, slave labor is not okay. You say that
you don't want to get, you can't get Americans to go do the work
for a certain price.
So
right.
Why not? Because of the price. Why is it?
Because Americans want to eat cheap watermelons,
right?
You know,
yeah, no, because Americans don't want to live in three or four, five, six families in one house until they're over here for a few years and they can all, you know, get their own place.
Yeah, Americans are spoiled.
They start out with a dozen people living in one house.
That's smart.
Yeah. And you're for that. You don't think that's...
Well, no, what's wrong with that? Why shouldn't people be able to live together? I mean, it helps them bring their costs of living down. I mean, if you're only making five cents a melon...
Because in my neighborhood, and I don't live in a fancy neighborhood, but it's a single dwelling house. It's a single... There's laws on how many people can live in the house.
Oh, the laws. Oh, the damn laws. What's with all that?
But does that really hurt you?
Well, they're fire laws. You know, you can't go into a building.
That's their risk, dude.
Right. I mean, does that hurt you?
The building that you're operating.
Why don't you just leave people alone, okay? It's their house. They can live in it how they want to live in it. Here's the problem. If you want to see other people live the way you want them to live, if you're saying, Chris in Indianapolis knows how many people should be living in a house, then it's only a matter of time before someone tries to tell you how you should live in your house. That's not fair.
Okay. But then when it catches on fire or something happens like that,
right?
You want the fire department to come out and put it out, don't you? Sure you do.
One would hope somebody would help out. But that's not the only alternative.
And that's why they have the fire laws.
Right.
They only allow so many people in a building. You know, when you go into a bar, there can only be so many people in that bar.
That's not the reason why they have it. Here in Keene, New Hampshire, there's a restriction that only four people who are unrelated can live in one house. These houses are able to hold far more than four people safely. It has nothing to do with the fire code. It has everything to do with density of parking or whatever their excuses are for, we have zoned this area in this way, and we have determined that
I can see that. I can see,
but it's not okay. We understand that you can see it because you're okay with the idea of a bunch of bureaucrats telling us how to live. And I'm telling you, I'm not okay with it.
No, I'm not. You're not being realistic here. You got a neighborhood. You got a house that can hold 12 or 13 people if you want to pack them in there.
Sure.
You know, if you want to pack them in there, and then every one of them's got a car, so they're parking them out in the in the driveway.
Well, I think if you got 12 or 14 people living in a house because that's all they can afford to do, they probably don't have 12 or 14 cars.
Yeah, probably true. Beyond that, this is an issue that private property can solve, okay? So right. if we actually have...
I beg to differ there. The Spanish communities in Indianapolis, okay, not bad housing. You know, they're not run-down housing. They're newer than my houses.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them down the road.
What are you begging to differ on, though? What part were you begging to differ about?
When you drive through the neighborhood, though, you think you're driving through a Disneyland parking lot. There's so many cars.
Okay, so that's what I was going to say. You didn't let me finish what I was going to say, though. Private property can solve this problem. Okay, so what we have right now is a lot of neighborhoods where the government owns the streets, and they're not actually privately owned neighborhoods. If you actually had private property where the streets were privately owned, where the houses, the lots were all privately owned, then the landlord would get to decide how many people he or she is willing to allow to stay in that property. And if the tenants are violating their lease, then that's an actionable, you know, court
sure.
case or whatever.
Right.
You can legally take those people out if necessary. If the landlord says, I'm totally cool with 10 people living here, then that should be an agreement that they should be free to make in a so-called free country. Thank you, Chris, for your call tonight. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves. Even in these remaining moments, we're going to try to sneak you in if you're on the line with us here on Free Talk Live. And we'll have to talk about the Satanic Temple another night. We got wall-to-wall calls coming up on Free Talk Live. Yeah! It's Free Talk Live. Moments remain here. Enough time for you, maybe, if you're already on the line. If you are not in, or if you don't get in with us here tonight, it's okay. It's all right. We got a Sunday show.
Yeah.
We do a live edition of Free Talk Live every single night from 7 to 10 at night Eastern Time, and you're always welcome to join us. Saturday night's always the hardest night to get on the air, except for hour number one for some reason.
Yeah, it was just dead.
Nobody wanted to talk about your rights at the border, but everybody wants to talk about immigrants.
Yep, we saw that.
So anyway, you can go to, if you want to support Free Talk Live, please amp the show. You can do that over at amp.freetalklive.com. If you love the fact that we are talking about liberty and freedom and libertarianism 7 nights a week here on Free Talk Live, as well as peace, then you really ought to get behind the show for $5 a month. And you'll get perks like access to the AMP-only Facebook group, which is a way that you can actually interact with other Free Talk Live listeners, as well as hosts of the show. Chris, you're in that group.
Absolutely.
I'm in that group, and a couple few hundred other Free Talk Live listeners are also in that group. It's a really cool little perk, and there's also other cool perks like access to the AMP-only call-in lines, the AMP-only podcast, which is like our regular podcast, but doesn't have the commercials that our regular podcast does. Not that a regular podcast has a lot of commercials, it doesn't, but the AMP podcast has even fewer. So you can join the AMP program with any major credit card. You can use Visa, MasterCard, American Express, as well as Bitcoin and PayPal over at amp.freetalklive.com. That's where you'll learn more about the program and how it helps us spread the ideas of freedom to more radio stations all around the country, unlike any other show out there. No other show does it at the level that we do. So it's AMP, A-M-P, amp.freetalklive.com. As we go back to the phones and to the fun, Wesley is in Minneapolis. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Wesley.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Great.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Oh, man, I just had to, I had to do a little bit of whining about the flat earth thing. You're going to get slammed tomorrow, I guarantee you. I'm having my podcast tomorrow.
Wait, what? Why are we getting slammed with flat earthers? Please, no. Please.
No, yeah. You guys got, all I ask is you guys, if you have an open mind, you need to at least look at it before you slam it. I'm surprised that you cut Mark off so quickly.
Cut them off. We go on and on with them for a segment at least, usually, when they call.
I've spent hours talking to flat earthers.
They've called multiple times.
Yeah, this is the first time I've listened to your guys' show, so I haven't seen any of the, never heard any.
We didn't even have a flat earther call tonight. You must have listened to a podcast from this week or something like that.
It could have been. Yeah, Mark just posted a video about, posted your guys'.
Who's Mark? Is he one of the flat earthers?
We're talking about Mark Edge.
Who's Mark?
Mark, no.
Who?
Mark Sargent.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
I don't know either.
What did he post?
Really? Oh yeah, he's the creator of Flat Earth Clues on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with it, but I'll look at it.
Are you saying he called our show this week?
Yeah, I just got done watching a video of it, and I had your guys' number on the video.
So a Flat Earth guy called Free Talk Live and made a YouTube video out of it, is what you're saying?
Right.
Gotcha. Right. Okay. That's why he's saying we're going to get a rush of crazy kook Flat Earth callers. Yeah, we've listened to this nonsense for quite a while, and it's, I don't know, I would say it's even more ridiculous than the chemtrail conspiracy.
Are you a supporter of the Flat Earth?
Well, you know, so did I 2 years ago. I agree with you. I'm a ball earther. And it's like, oh, I'm so down to that. And until 2 years ago, I started researching it and getting in it hard. And I'm like, wait a minute, there's something here. And all I'm saying is, if you guys, I'm warning
no,
you.
No, there's nothing there because it is. There's nothing there because it would require the world's most grand conspiracy in order for it to be pulled off. It would require everyone who's ever been involved in aerospace to be involved in a conspiracy to cover up the claim, you know, the belief or the claim that this is a flat Earth instead of a globe. I mean, it's a ridiculous claim on its face. How anyone could take it seriously is absurd.
But I always listen to the arguments, and I always offer my own, you know, explain.
But everybody's just kind of following the trend. You listen. I mean, how do you know for sure? Is it because that they told you?
No, I can.
Or is it because there was a movie in your room?
Can I answer the question?
In your classroom.
You asked.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, it's okay. I used to work in communications. I worked in telecommunications.
You're part of the conspiracy, Chris.
Well, no, I worked in satellite communications. I am also a ham radio operator who happens to do some stuff like, you know, I do communicate with satellites and bounce signals off of satellites and bounce satellite signals off of the moon, Earth.
That's what they told you to tell us.
Yeah, I know. But I see all these things and I can tell, you know, I can predict. I have actually computer programs now that will tell me when a particular satellite is going to raise up over the horizon, how long it's going to be overhead. That's the first part, and then there is that whole, you know, 4 or 5 years of my life where I communicated with satellites that would travel across the sky, not geosynchronous, but orbital satellites. So you can try to convince me otherwise, but when my livelihood depended on it, this is what I did.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the satellites are actually the only, is basically the old Loran system. And they're not bouncing anything off of any satellite because they're not up there.
The satellites aren't up there?
So how do you explain what Chris did with 5 years of his life?
Well, I like, again, they're bouncing off.
Oh, apparently the satellite's not picking up your phone signal real good there.
Well, here's the thing. If this is true, how come you don't get any signal over in the southern hemisphere? GPS drops off. It's because it's a land-based system.
You have no idea what you're talking about. Thank you for the call tonight, Wesley. I've had enough.
Yeah. Well, you have GPS, and you also have the Russian system, and I'd be amazed. I think it's called a... I can't remember the name of it, but there's a Russian halo of satellites used for global positioning, too, and I'm pretty sure those are both global systems. That's why would they only come up with a system
that
covers...
Doesn't the G in GPS stand for global?
I think you're on to something there.
P stands for positioning, and the S stands for system. I mean, that's how ridiculous this thing is. It requires you to have been in on this conspiracy. The last guy who called in admitted that he believes that everyone who's in, you know, space exploration, that everyone who's in satellite launching that business, that everybody who's in these businesses that has to do with what's out there in orbit, that it's all a conspiracy, all some sort of grand conspiracy designed to cover all this up. I mean, how anybody can believe this and take it seriously is bewildering to me. That these callers aren't actually just trolling, that they actually believe this is...
I know. But I still enjoy it. I don't know. Can't even understand. It is such a perverse thing.
Let's go continue here with hopefully some more sane, at least somewhat more sane callers. Larry in Charleston, you're on Free Talk Live listening to WTMA.
Well, congratulations, gentlemen. I'm going to give you a double dose of sanity.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Please.
You could probably use it after listening to tonight. Yeah. Repertoire.
All right, throw it out there.
The situation is in regards to building the wall. What a stupid idea. The actual building of a concrete masonry wall, mm-hmm. It will only fall in before they're finished building it because of geological movements, and they get rain sometimes coming out of a mountain that comes down with tons of force. It will collapse walls and wash underneath walls. It will be falling down as soon as they build it.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? Thank you for the call tonight, Larry. I appreciate it. If after all this time and money that they spend building the wall, if it just the rain crumbled, just washed it away.
And what would we do? We'll build an even bigger wall. It'll be a better wall.
Well, we won't do that.
This wall will be the greatest wall ever.
Because we don't support that stuff. Let's continue here. Mike in Indianapolis listening to WIBC. Hey, Mike.
Yes. Some of these people you're getting tonight, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they're special.
Yeah. My thing about immigration is, you guys kept on talking about the migrant workers that are picking stuff or, picking melons or whatever. I've worked in construction work with new homes, and there's Hispanics that are they do a little bit of everything. It's not just that kind of work.
Oh, sure,
that's true.
But
sure.
And as far as how many people live in a house, you know what? If it's your house, you can live 100 people in there if you want to do it.
As long as the landlord and you agree, as long as it's contractual, sure. Hey, Mike, I'm sorry, but we're short on time. I appreciate your call tonight. We're on 7 nights a week, so even if you don't hear us live in Indianapolis, you can always call us because I know we're only on Saturday nights there. Thank you for the call tonight. So 7 to 10 at night Eastern time. If you didn't get on tonight, join us then, and we'll talk to you tomorrow night starting at 7 Eastern here on Free Talk Live. Have a great weekend. You've probably heard the libertarian author Tom Mullen interviewed or talked about on Free Talk Live. Well, Tom wrote a song called You Were Right, Mr. Spock.
Cast your purple horse with mindless swine. Why did not you smile and say I told you so? What will we ever listen? Will your logic have its day? Or will we stay on self-destruct no matter what you say? You were right, Mr. Spock. It's a fact we better face. If we're ever gonna find a way to save this human race. When it seems like every hope is sinking like a stone, remember that no matter what, you're really not alone. You were right, Mr. Spock. You were right, Mr. Spock. You were right, Mr. Spock. You were right, Mr. Spock.
That was You Were Right, Mr. Spock, by libertarian author and singer-songwriter Tom Mullen. To get it on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, and more, go to skepticsongs.com. If you want to read Tom's articles and free excerpts of his books, go to tommullen.net.